Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads, and I'm your host, T.S. Wright, and I'm so glad you could join us today. If you haven't already, hit that follow, subscribe button, and give us a like. Well, you know what? Today, we are going to be diving into a marital topic, and we have got Miss Lori Yarbrough back to do just that, to really bring a message that I think affects all of us, and I know she's going to tap into marriage and social media, and it's kind of an interesting crossover there, but it's definitely having impact on all of us, both individually and in our social groups, and that includes marriage. So without further ado, Lori, welcome back to the show. We are glad to have you.
Thanks, T.S. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me here again.
Well,
so today,
take it off.
Go ahead.
Here we go.
So you've heard the saying, swipe right, drift apart. So guarding your marriage in a social media world, it's not really easy to do. We think it might be, but it's not. So I'm going to talk about something that almost nobody thinks is a big deal until it is, which is, let me ask you this question. Have you ever been mid-sentence talking to your spouse and realized they didn't hear a word you said because they were scrolling? I know I have, or maybe you've been the one doing it. You're not trying to disconnect, you're just checking Instagram, right? Or Facebook or TikTok or X or whatever social media platform that you're scrolling. And suddenly, 20 minutes have been eaten up of time and you don't even know where it went. It's not about, I'm not talking about demonizing technology. Social media can be a tool, a good tool. And T.S. and I were talking about that earlier. It connects families, it builds businesses, it spreads the gospel. But it can also quietly erode intimacy if we're not careful. So scripture tells us in the Song of Solomon, catch the little foxes that ruin the vineyards. Marriages rarely explode overnight. They erode through little foxes, little moments of time. And today I'm going to talk about how social media can be one of them and how to guard your covenant wisely.
Amen.
So we can start off with something simple, attention. So I found this in my research from Baylor University, and they found that nearly 46% of adults reported being fubbed, which is, that's phone snubby, for those who don't know, by their partner.
My gosh.
Those who experienced it reported significantly lower relationship satisfaction and higher conflict. That 46%, that is almost half. And that's not small. So here's what's happening. Marriage is built in micro moments. You know, those little time moments where you make eye contact, share laughter, small debriefs about your day, or a hand on your shoulder while you're walking by your partner. When those micro moments are replaced by scrolling, connection weakens, not dramatically, but gradually. Just like the enemy, isn't it? To come in and find little ways and little cracks to get into the situation until it becomes a wider crack, and then it's a huge crevice. Ephesians 5:15 through 16 says, be very careful then how you live, making the most of every opportunity. Your spouse is not competing with another person. They're competing with a device engineered to hold attention. So according to data reported by Data Reportal, the average person spends over 2 hours per day on social media. That's more than 700 hours a year. When I read that, I was absolutely floored. 700 hours in a year that you're mindlessly scrolling through stuff that doesn't add any value to your life at all. Imagine redirecting even a fraction of that towards intentional connection. And that I'm not talking about guilting your spouse, but it's about stewardship. We think about stewardship with money, but we need to steward our time. We need to steward our relationships. Those are just as important, and God holds us accountable for that. Your attention is one of the greatest gifts that you give your spouse. So let's talk about a comparison. Social media is a highlight reel. So anniversary surprises, dream vacations, perfectly posed photos, family photos, spouses writing glowing tributes. And if we're not careful, we start to what? Compare our own life to what we're seeing on a screen. A 2013 study published in the journal of Cyber Psychology, Behavior, and Social Networking found that increased time on Facebook was associated with higher levels of jealousy and conflict in romantic relationships. Comparison fuels dissatisfaction. You can be in a healthy marriage and still feel like you're missing out. But here's the truth. You're comparing your behind the scenes to someone else's curated moments. I thought about that for a while after I had, discovered this. This Hebrews 13:5 says, be content with what you have. We live in a society that is not content. They always want the next bigger, better thing. Contentment doesn't mean complacency. It means gratitude. The enemy loves comparison because comparison blinds you to the gift sitting right in front of you, which is your spouse.
Amen.
When you scroll long enough, even a faithful, loving spouse can start to look ordinary. But ordinary faithfulness is actually extraordinary. So let's talk about validation and the emotional drift that happens over time with these little foxes that get in the vineyard. Let's talk about dopamine. Every notification triggers a small chemical reward in the brain. A like, a comment, a new follower. It feels good. But here's the question. When did 200 likes start feeling more exciting than your spouse's compliment? A study in computers and human behavior found that social media use can activate reward pathways in the brain similarly to other habit-forming behaviors, which means it can be addictive. If we begin seeking affirmation from followers more than from our covenant partner, emotional loyalty begins to shift outside instead of inward. So in Genesis, it says, the two shall become one flesh. That oneness is not just physical, it's emotional and spiritual too. When affirmation is outsourced, unity weakens. Your marriage was never designed to compete with an audience. Wow. Micro cheating and boundary erosion happens over time with this. And this part is uncomfortable but necessary. Most emotional affairs do not begin with the intention to betray. They begin with access and secrecy. For instance, you've gone to a class reunion and you're not happy in your marriage. You've gone to this class reunion, you meet up with an old girlfriend or old boyfriend. You reconnect on Facebook, and over time, you start thinking private messages are harmless, a conversation that becomes consistent, and you're not doing that with your spouse. And over time, that erodes the trust between the two of you. So research from American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers has reported that a significant percentage of divorce attorneys have seen an increase in cases involving social media evidence. So now you're even using the social media in divorces as evidence of extramarital affairs. It usually starts small. So James 1:14 says it reminds us that temptation grows when it's nurtured. So no one plans to wreck their marriage. They just fail to guard it. And here's a simple test. If you would feel uncomfortable reading a message out loud to your spouse, something's off. Privacy is healthy, but secrecy creates distance. So how to guard your marriage? So we're going to shift more towards hope rather than all the negative parts of it, because it's not about fear, it's about wisdom. Above all else, guard your heart. Here are practical ways to do just that. First, create clear boundaries together. Not rules rooted in suspicion, agreements rooted in honor. Second, establish no phone zones like dinner table, date nights, the bedroom. Have you ever been sitting across from your spouse you're supposed to be on a date night and they're on their phone? And you're like, we're supposed to be connecting here. This is not working. Protect sacred spaces. Third, replace digital affirmation with intentional affirmation. Compliment each other daily. Flirt offline. Speak gratitude out loud. If someone is going to hype up your spouse, let it be you. And finally, do a weekly check-in. Ask, do you feel connected to me? Has anything online made you uncomfortable? And are we protecting us? 15 honest minutes can prevent years of distance. So here's the bottom line. Social media is not the villain. Neglect is. Comparison is. Secrecy is. Technology simply magnifies whatever habits already exist. So here's your challenge. For the next 7 days, put your phone away after 8 p.m. Look at your spouse more than you look at your screen. Pray together before bed. Ask one honest question about boundaries, because one day you will not wish you had scrolled more. You'll wish you had connected more. Guard your vineyard. Your marriage deserves more attention than your notifications.
Amen. Amen. And you know, I would even apply that even beyond marriage.
Yeah.
You know, there's
absolutely.
There's other social situations where we need to give our attention and not allowing social stuff, the social media stuff, to take in, you know, whether it's maybe it's time with our children, maybe it's time with even sometimes just our alone time. You know, we need to be able to put it down and just unplug. Just unplug.
Yes.
And that will help you have a more balanced approach mentally, you know. And then just having time with God, you know, I don't imagine God wants us. I can just say this. God does not want us to spend time with him and scroll too. I mean, I don't need to be scrolling with God, you know, I don't need to be scrolling with God.
That's true.
We need to not be scrolling and spending time with the Lord. So there are,
I just got back from a week in Montana at a place called Refuge, and it's for men and women in leadership to go and do just what you said, unplug. They don't have great cell phone service there. You're on a Indian reservation, and so there's you know, they've driven you out there. There's nothing around it, so you spend the week doing outdoor activities. Fishing, shooting, hiking, all the stuff. And the unplugging reconnects you to hearing the voice of the Lord easier. It reconnects you with what's important in life and not just what's convenient, what's easy, and what gives you that momentary hit of dopamine. You know. And we've all done it. Everybody does it.
Amen. Amen. You know, I think about that sometimes, you know, like with social media and all this other stuff that is so distracting. How much of that is just because we want to go and hide from what we really should be doing? You know, it's, we don't want to deal with conflict. We don't want to deal with the pressures of life. And I get that. And sometimes you need to step away from it, but you also don't want it to be something where it's always your go-to to escape. It's not a healthy escape. I mean, it's no, you know, it can be just like using video games or using, even drugs and alcohol to use as your escape. I mean, that's, you don't want that to be your go-to to do that. I think that's such an important thing. And, you know, if you're in the habit of doing that with your marriage, then what your go-to is that, hey, when things get a little tense or there's those moments, and instead of unplugging with your spouse, you're going to unplug, you're unplugging with your phone. You know, you're disconnecting from society with your phone. Why not disconnect with your spouse? Yeah.
Go for a walk, sit and talk. I noticed with my daughter and daughter-in-law, as they raise my grandchildren, they're very, very picky about screen time. Like, it's very limited because they have found that if they let them watch it too much, their attitude changes about things. They're much more riled up. They're much more disrespectful. And it doesn't matter what it is that they're watching. It's the amount of time on that screen. And so, you know, they make them play outside or do something else besides that. And, which I'm grateful for, because when I was raising my kids, it was the TV. You could only have so much time on TV, and then, nope, you play outside. And that's what we're missing today is kids don't know how to problem solve. And we learned how to problem solve playing outside. You had to learn to get along with other kids. You had to, you know, problem solve through issues. They don't do that today.
No.
It's all done for them on a screen.
And the nice thing is when I was growing up, there was television, but there wasn't enough television to really keep you occupied all the time. You know, you had to come up with other things because if not, it was going to get pretty boring. I mean, video games were just starting. They weren't like they are now. And so I totally remember growing up, I used video games and all that stuff to do that on rainy days. If it was nice, I was outside playing ball. I mean, we were playing hoops. We were playing football. I mean, we were doing that kind of stuff. I'd go hunting, go fishing. Yeah. And
Well, I'm old enough, TS, to remember when there were three channels and it went off at midnight and they played the national anthem. And then it was just like, you know,
just snow.
That's it. Yeah. Until the next day at 7 o'clock.
I remember ours always coming back on at 6 a.m. So. But from midnight to 6 a.m., there was nothing. Nothing.
Nothing. You went to bed and that was the end of it.
Oh my gosh. So
that's hilarious.
Yeah. You know, one of the other things, get out a game and play games. Get some cards. Get a board game. Get something like that. Don't have to just be scrolling on your phone. And do that together. I think that's a great thing in marriage. Play some games together. I mean, the nice thing is you can play a game and be talking because you're interacting with each other in the game. You can talk. Sometimes the game will bring up some things that will allow you to talk through stuff. I mean, I've done that before. I think that's,
we work puzzles.
Great thing to do.
We have 1500 piece puzzle that we have it laid out and we'll sit there and work that. And it might be there for 2 or 3 days while we do it because it takes time, but we work on it a while and then go do something else. Amen. So
Lori, I got a question for you. So as you're, as you were doing your research and stuff on the social media, was there any social media stats or just things that stood out to you that not only relate to marriage, but also just maybe to kids in general that you might have saw things that, really stood out to you, maybe some of the health issues that can be caused by the social media, anything like that that you could share with the audience?
Well, they talked a lot about the psychological and mental aspects. And I touched on it earlier when talking about my own grandkids and their attitude. Parents that let their kids basically be raised by social media because it's more convenient to let them do that, you're finding they didn't really give the stats as much as they did talking about the mental health issues of kids. And we've seen a rise in mental health over the last 10 to 15 years. And they can connect it back to social media and the time that people are spending on there because they're not as happy, healthy as far as mental goes because they're comparing their life to somebody else's. And we all know you can Photoshop things and change things. And so even young women were having an issue with body image issues more so than we've ever had. Because they weren't looking like this person or like this person. And you see the absurdity of some of the links that people will go to in the name of beauty. We've gone to, you've got implants for everything. And I'm like, that's not natural, nor does it look natural. And how can you walk, when they had rear end implants? And I'm going, what is that? But the body image issues became a huge thing for young women. And I mean, at young ages, and I'm talking about 10, 11, 12 girls that are wanting, to have their nails done. And I mean, like the long nails that are popular right now, they're at 9 and 10 years old and they're wanting, hair extensions. And I'm like,
yeah, exactly.
You're 9. Why would you want all that? And so we're planting things in our kids and it over-sexualizes this generation. by doing all that stuff.
And
so, yes,
as advertising has gotten more creative over the years, it's just gotten worse, worse, and worse and worse. Because it wasn't good when I was a kid. It wasn't good then. I mean, folks, right. Don't think it's all of a sudden just gotten bad. It's just gotten more progressive and much more sophisticated, and it's just starting to creep into younger and younger ages and all that stuff. Yeah, so I absolutely agree with you. That's
Well, they have more accessibility to it.
Thing, you know, and we've got. I mean, think of all the issues too with this level of accessibility, with being able to connect almost too easy. And then also, you know, things with pornography and all those type of things that have become so easily accessible to people. In some of it has just almost become, it's almost allowed it to become somewhat socially acceptable, which I think is very scary. It's also sad in many ways, you know.
Well, it is. And it's creating a culture of pedophilia as well. That there was a huge rise even in that and trying to make that socially acceptable. Because even with all of the parent blocks that they can put on the social media, kids are savvy with it. They find ways around the blocks. They get in chat rooms their parents don't know anything about. And so it's really hard in parenting these days to keep your kids safe, because it's not just the stranger on the street you have to be concerned about anymore. It's the stranger on the computer or the stranger on the iPhone that is talking in your kid's ear and influencing and impacting them in ways that you never imagined.
Amen. That's so true. And we need to, you know, I always say prayer is always our best defense, and it's our first line of defense. But we also have to have awareness. And, you know, it's getting tougher and tougher, because there's more things you got to be aware of and stay educated on as things become more sophisticated. It certainly is. And, you know, whether it's with our kids, even with our spouse, and, you know, we got to learn to be there for each other. And like you said, I think connecting is such a big deal, and not allowing social media to interrupt that process, the natural connections that we have. So Lori, just real quick, if, you know, as we're starting to get close to wrapping up, if somebody wanted to get in touch with your ministry, they wanted to get a hold of your book, all those type of things, how could they do that?
My book's called United in Purpose. It's a biblical blueprint on God's plan for marriage. And you can reach me at Lori@LoriYarbrough.com. I do a blog on there as well, where I'm talking about different marriage tips. Just even on courtship and date night ideas to stay connected with your spouse. Because marriage has been on the rise for a long time, and even in the Christian communities, and, you know, want to see that drop dramatically. Yes, that's awesome. It's good to hear.
Are you looking to grow? Are you looking to be able to understand what real discipleship is? Or do you have a church or a body of believers that are looking for something to help you get past just the normal Bible study to actually be able to apply the Word of God? Well, we have a book for you. It's called Embracing the Truth. Go to tswrightspeaks.com. Message me and get your copy today. Again, tswrightspeaks.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and have a blessed day.